last talk of the workshop. This talk is going to be given by Peter Simon from Hungary. And you're the last talk. Okay, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. First, I would like to thank the organizers to invite me here in this prestigious company. It's a great pleasure for me to be here, and thank you for coming for this last talk after lunch, Friday afternoon. Okay, so let me show you the starting point that I start from. So I use the Markov chain formulation, and I assume that the state space is 0, 1, and n, which is basically corresponding to the number of infected nodes in a graph with a capital N and nodes, and at time t, the probability of being in state k is pkp. And this is a very simple Markov chain because there are only two transitions. From state k, you can move to k plus 1 or to k minus 1, so that it can be an infection, the recovery, nothing else. If I have a fully connected graph, then this context AK is this number, the number of infected, the number of susceptibles, and the rate of moving from this state is tau K n minus K, and tau is the infection rate, which should be scaled as 1 over n to have a limit, and gamma is the recovery rate. Okay, in general, the rate of infection is somehow a function of k, and ESI will denote the edges of type SI, so the number of SI edges when I have k infected nodes. And in the case of a complete graph, this ESI is k times n minus k in the simplest case. And how do we get the mean field approximation in the simplest case? We use the exact equation as Istvan said in the morning. This is exact for any graph if I in the bracket is the expected value of the number of infected, and SI in the bracket is the expected value of SI edges. And then use the approximation. This is an approximation. Okay? So the number of SI edges can be approximated somehow with this number. So instead of k, I put here the expected value of the number of infected. And if I plug in this approximation into the exact differential equation, then I get this. I use I tilde to emphasize that this is just an approximating. It's not the real I. This I tilde is approximating the expected value of I's. Okay, so we have the exact differential equation. If it is for a complete graph, at least it is exact. And I compute the expected value. I multiply k, the number of infected, with the probability of being in state k. That is the expected value of number of infected nodes, and the question is that how can I estimate the difference between the expected value and the approximation I give up. So my main aim is to investigate this difference and to prove that somehow it is small in some sense if n goes to infinity. Just to compare this also to the table closure approximation, in that case I have other approximating functions. I denote them by I bar, SI bar, II bar, which satisfy this thing. So these are the closures for the triples, and that is another approximation. The question is again the difference between the approximation and the exact solution. As everybody knows, if I close this for many types of graphs, this is for a complete graph, then the exact is very close to the fair closure and the triple closure as well. If I enlarge this part, then we can see that the triple closure is a little bit better than the fair closure. No, the mean field is the fair closure in this case. This is this is the mean field. Okay, and we can measure the difference between the exact and the approximating things. So here I plot 1 over n, and here the approximation error, and we can see that it is the difference, this difference, is linear in n. I plotted some values for the graph with 100, 200, 400, 800 nodes, and you can see that if the number of nodes is doubled, then the error, the approximation error is half, so it's basically it's 1 over n. So we conjecture that this difference is 1 over n. So the summary of this approach is the following. We have an exact differential equation, exact master equation. So we, there is some cheating, and I would like to cheat, but you realize that. So for a complete graph, this is an exact equation. For other graphs, it is not exact. But okay, let me behave like a proper mathematician. I start from a differential equation, and I don't care if it is something useful or not. Okay, so I start from this, and I will show you how can it be used to other graphs. I assume that I can give a function which associates the number of SI edges to the given number of infected nodes. I will speak more about this. And then I introduce the approximating differential equation, because here I need the SI edges, and this is approximated by this number. And then I would like to estimate the difference between the approximating and the exact. So that's the general idea, which is not very sophisticated. And there are two questions. Your question, can this approach be applied to other graphs? Because basically this is for the complete graph. And the other one is how to prove that this is order 1 over n. So I will speak about these two things try to answer my questions. Or I put a question which I can answer, which is a typical thing. Okay, so the first question, for which graphs can it be used? I can do the following. I can introduce ESIK as the average number of SI edges when there are K infected nodes, which is obviously an approximation, because if I give the number of infected nodes, it doesn't determine the number of SI edges. It depends on the position. If you can imagine that if I have a very simple graph with 4 nodes and put 2s and 2i, the number of SI edges is 2 here. And if I put in another configuration, then there are 4 SI edges in this case. So obviously, this function does not exist. But I start from this function, so I should tell you something about that. This is a kind of average. Okay? Maybe I can say that it is 2 plus 4 divided by 2, which is not a good average, because this is much more probable than this one. It's more likely to be in this state than in that state, but somehow it is average. At least I can do the following. I run a simulation on a graph, and I compute the average when I have k infected nodes. This is what we did. I show you a few plots. Okay, so I take a homogeneous random graph, which is a graph with a degree, small m is the degree. So every node has 7 neighbors. I have just 100 nodes. So some dogs have come up, and I determine ESI from simulation. These are the green curves, green circles, and I can also determine ESI from the independency. Okay, so then I assume that the number of SI edges is equal to the number of S is the number of I's. This is the mean field approximation. And I can compare these two things. And I see, everybody knows that it is bigger, the mean field. The blue one is used to be bigger than the exact. Okay, but this is just from the simulation. I would like to get a function which gives ESI, and we can fit, this function can be fitted quite well. Okay, so I instead of k times n minus k, I use k to the p, n minus k to the q. This kind of approximation goes back to the 70s. But in this paper by Troy and Pascal, they investigated this just with a similar fitting. So at the moment, unfortunately, we don't have theoretical evidence that this functional form is based on something. It is just by saying that it is quite right. Okay, so I can say that if I have a homogeneous random depth, then ESIK can be given by this functional form, and we could be happy with that. These numbers were determined by fitting. So I aim or vision is to get a formula for these numbers. But at the moment I don't have it. Okay, we can do this with an average range as well. Again, I can measure from simulation the number of SI edges, and I can put this red curve on it. The red curve has a similar form with different values of P and Q. Somehow, the numbers P and Q characterize the type of the graph. And unfortunately, P and Q also depend on tau and gamma. If you increase the value of tau, then this curve is pushed down. For this, I have a kind of semi-analytic explanation, but I don't go into details. Friday afternoon. okay, we check the different graphs. This is the bimodal graph. We have two kind of nodes. One half of the nodes is with degree 3, and the other half is with degree 11, just to have the average degree 7, as in the previous cases. And this is pushed more on the left, in this case, the green curve. And we can again fit P and Q and D. And I got these values. Okay, and the last one is the negative binomial, which has this sort of distribution. We chose R equal 3 and this value of P just to have the average degree at 7. Again, these are the node degrees, 3, 4, 5, until 16, and these are the number of nodes with these degrees. Okay, and this is somehow more in the middle. And again, I can fit P and Q and D, and I get these numbers.
What was the first graph?
Homogeneous random, K-regular random graph. Everybody has K degree. All of these graphs were constructed by the configuration model, which is important here. If you take a graph with more structure, like a cycle, then it is quite different. Okay, so the general approach, that's all about convincing you that this kind of master equation can lead us to somewhere. Okay, so please start from this point, and I say that AK, the rate of moving from K to K plus 1, is a function of k. For the complete graph, this is exactly this. For other random graphs, this can be approximated with this functional form. So this starting point, this starting master equation is really exact for a complete graph, and it is an approximation for other graphs. Okay, and the question is that, how can I compare the master equation and the mean field? So in general, the coefficients ak and ck depend somehow on k and on the size of the system n. And this n will go to infinity. And what I have to assume here is that some kind of density dependence is in the system. So this is, I assume that this limit exists when n goes to infinity. I show you a very simple case when we have a complete graph, then please substitute nx for k. Okay, so put in this case, I put nx here and nx here, okay? And then n will be cancelled, and this limit is not a limit, it is exactly equal to that one for any n, and I get the usual formulas for capital A and capital C. Okay, so we have the master equation and the mean field approximation is this one. So this capital A and capital C functions come from the limit as n goes to infinity. And in the simplest case, I don't need the limit. Okay, and then but I compare this mean field to the expected value. I scale the expected value by n. So I use k over n instead of k. So this is basically the number of i's divided by n. And the theorem, which can be proved, is the following. If I start from the same initial condition, the mean field and the general, the master equation, and the difference is order 1 over n until some time. It is very important, as we know that there is an absorbing state, so this is not true forever, because forever, it finally, this will go to zero.
But also true for certain class of graphs, for
this is, If I start, okay, at this stage I don't have the graph, because I have this master equation, and for this master equation I have an assumption on the coefficients, that these limits exist. And once this assumption is satisfied, then the theorem is true. We have proved this here, and if you are familiar with the work of Kurtz, they prove a very similar statement. They have stochastic convergence, not this kind of uniform convergence, for similar systems. I will show you some ideas about the proof of the theorem, but before I show you an interesting thing, that in some cases we can have 1 over n squared approximation instead of 1 over n. Okay, I start again from the master equation, and now I am in the case of a complete graph, when ak and ck can be given explicitly, and the expected value is given as usually. And I do the following, which is usually done. I differentiate y1 with respect to t, and I get and I use the differential equations for pk here. Okay, so I plug in the differential equations here, and I work and work and work, and I finally get here to this differential equation where y2 is the second moment, where I have k squared over n. Okay, this is not a proper differential equation, because I have another unknown here, y2, so I differentiate y2, and work and work and work, and I will arrive to this differential equation, which contains y3, which is the third moment as usual. And then the idea is to assume that PK has some distribution. If I assume that PK is very close to the normal distribution, then the third moment can be expressed in terms of the first and the second, and then I can close the system. So that is the first moment, that is an exact differential equation, that is the second moment, which is also an exact equation, but x3 is unknown, and I express x3 in terms of the first two moments. And I denote these variables by x because they are just approximations of the y's. x1 approximate y1, x2, y2, and so on. And we conjecture that if I start from the same initial condition, then this difference is 1 over n squared, which is based on the numerical evidence only. So if you compute this, then it is 1 over n squared, but we don't have a proof. In this paper we have some explanation, but we don't have a rigorous mathematical proof for that. Okay, so let me go back to the theorem, just to repeat. So this is the theorem. I go back to the simple mean field approximation. Here x is the solution of the mean field, and I would like to prove that the difference between the mean field and the exact is order 1 over n, and I just give you a few I just show you a few slides about the proof. Okay, so the master equation can be written in this form, this matrix form, and the matrix is this tri-diagonal matrix. I have the A0, A1, AN-1 below the diagonal, and the C is above, and the B's are the sum of A and B. Okay, so we have a uniformly continuous semigroup, which is a linear system of differential equations, Rn plus 1, and as n goes to infinity, you can imagine that so the state space in this case is 0, 1 over n, 2 over n, 3 over n, and 1. That is the state space in the original system. And this, if n goes to infinity, then this somehow approximates the semigroup on. So when I just show you the idea, the picture. So if you have this, then you have the probabilities somehow this way. Okay? These are the PK values at a given time. And if you increase the value of n, then you can imagine that this is approximating a continuous function. So C0, 1 is the space of continuous functions defined on the interval 0, 1. And this semigroup somehow is an approximation of this semigroup, which is defined as follows. I solve the mean field differential equation. This is the mean field with the initial condition at x naught, and this is p, as usual, is the solution of the differential equation, and the capital T semigroup is defined for a given function f. F is a function in this space. So f maps 0, 1 to R or C. So for a given f, the semigroup is defined this way, and it is a quite simple semigroup. It can be found in many textbooks, and the generator of this is this function. So the generator G associates to a function GF, which is defined this way. This is true if f is a differentiable function. If f is not differentiable, then it's a bit more complicated, but in our case, f will be the identity function. Okay, we can see that Pn and capital T act on different spaces. So Xn is basically a finite dimensional space, the value of the function at this point, and X is the function space. Okay, and we can feel from this picture that Xn approximates capital X somehow, and there is a simple projection from the bigger space to the smaller space by taking that continuous function. So if I am given a continuous function, then I can compute the values of the function at these points, and then I get a function f, which is basically a vector, n plus one dimensional vector. Okay, and I can start the two systems from the same initial condition. This small m means that I have m infected nodes. And I solve. And the expected value of the number of infected nodes is nothing else than this semigroup applied to the identity, which is very simple. If it is not Friday afternoon, but Monday morning, then it is very easy. At this moment, maybe it's not obvious, but believe that it is very simple. So both things, I have to compare. My theorem was that y1e minus xt, the exact and the mean field difference is order 1 over n. Okay? So I have to compare these two things. So it's just putting the question in a quite general context, So I want to prove this, which is the same as this one. And the idea of the proof is that the proof is based on two things. I would like to prove a similar statement for the generators of the semigroups. So capital G is the generator of capital T, and Gn is the matrix, the generator of Tn. And this is the thing that I can prove, and then I can apply the variation of constant formula which connects the generator and the semigroup in the usual way. So it's quite straightforward. I just show you the formulas which are not the generator of capital G, it was a few slides ago, the generator was given by the functions A and C, which are the functions in the mean field differential equation, and the generator of Pn is nothing else than the matrix, and I apply this at this value. Okay? And I should take the difference of the two things. So if I take the difference, that's the last formula. So, which is, it seems to be complicated, but it's very simple again. So if you take the difference, then you can see that I put an extra f prime here, and with positive sign and negative sign here, okay? And then this is very small if I use the Taylor expansion of f, okay, say here. Okay? And this is small because of the assumption of the theorem. Okay, so it's not very difficult. So that's the best about the proof. I'll just summarize what I did. I started from a master equation with this state space. So somehow my idea is to have this state space when this k is the number of infecting nodes, which is somehow cheating, but it can be useful. The simplest motivation is the complete graph, when this state space is exactly all right. We have the rate of AK and CK can be given explicitly. For other graphs, This is just an approximation, unfortunately, but it is very good, as maybe you remember the green and the red curves. So this is itself an approximation. And then I introduce the limit. This is the mean field limit, capital A and capital C, and I have the mean field differential equation for x, and this can be compared to the expected value of the number of infected nodes. So I can solve this, and I get the exact value y1, and I can solve the mean field, and the theorem was that the difference is order 1 over n. These are the papers I mentioned, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you.